Mark me fire with me, let us praise his name forever. Magnify thy love with me, I will praise his name forever. Magnify thy love with me, let us praise his name together. Go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful man. Go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for people, man. He's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for people, man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for people, man. Go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, Jesus died for people, man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Jesus died for people, man. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Our God is coming back again. Oh, glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. Coming back. And from that again, he's coming back again. Our God is coming back again. Oh, glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Oh, glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We thank God for today, for bringing us so far by his grace, by his mercy. We give him glory, honor, and adoration. God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all, welcome to the Hour of Miracles Radio and TV Ministries of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching you all the way from Lanham, Maryland, USA. This is the Archbishop Stephen John Bukuru coming your way with the living word of God that saves, heals, delivers, and blesses. I tell you today, God is going to do a new thing in your life and in your family, because there's going to be a great visitation, open heaven, favor, grace, and mercy be released upon every one of you that are joining us on Facebook, Twitter, Link, YouTube, and all the social medias, and over the phone and through the radio. You are all welcome. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be talking about evangelism and missions today, and it is a very relevant topic, because after Jesus resurrected on Easter Sunday, he spent another 40 days on earth. Jesus was on earth for another 40 days. And during these 40 days, he appeared to his disciples and his followers, and he ministered to them, prayed for them, broke bread with them, spoke with them, and finally, Galilee, mountain of Galilee, he gave the great commission of go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. This great commission was the last command before he left, and it is very, very, very important what Jesus said. Was the last assignment he gave to the disciples, which applies to us today. We are the disciples of Jesus today. We are the followers of Jesus today. And so that great commission is given to us to fulfill the great commission. And he commissioned us to go ye into the whole world and teach all the people, Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 to the end. So go ye to all nations and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then there was something he said before that. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now I impart to you the grace to go forth and preach the gospel. See, because Jesus rescued power of God from Satan when he descended into 12 Hades, and he took the keys of the kingdom. And on Sunday morning when he woke up from the grave, and the all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. What is this power we're talking about? Is the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said, but tarry ye in Jerusalem, till ye be endued with power from on high. Power from on high? But Jesus, we have been with you for 3.5 years. We should have received the power by now. Someone must have asked that question. Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about just you being with me. I'm talking about the heavenly dunamis, the exousia. Dunamis, exousia, explosive power of the Holy Ghost. The anointing power of God that rests upon you. Have you received the power since you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit comes with the power of God. You know, and Jesus told them, don't you preach this gospel until you are endued with power from on high. This is very, very important, because sometimes people preach a gospel and you begin to wonder what type of gospel they are preaching. I remember that T.L. Osborne, he went to India on mission trip, and he met with the Hindus and the Shintoists and various religions in India. And they were not even submitting to the gospel. And Dr. T.L. Osborne was testifying, saying, he wondered why these people would not heed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he came back to the United States and began to pray And God showed him, saying, you haven't come with power. Apostle Paul saying, I come to you not with entirely words of man's wisdom. I come under the power of the Holy Ghost to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse lepers. That's what it is. Oh, yes, you haven't got the key yet. T.L. Osborne, you need to wait on the Lord. And so Dr. T.L. Osborne, you know, he testified that he began to wait upon the Lord. He and his wife, Daisy. God, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the exousia and the dunamis to do this work. And God visited them and imparted power of the Holy Ghost into their lives. And then Dr. T.L. Osborne and his family, they went back to India and they began to display the power of God. And when they saw signs and wonders and miracles, the blind see, the deaf hear, the crippled walk, lepers are cleansed, the whole people, they lifted their hands and say, yes, the God of Elijah is the true God. It is the same thing like the days of Prophet Elijah. Elijah had to prove that he had a supernatural God. You know, you don't just talk gospel. What are you talking about? I remember Dr. Maurice Cerullo. Maurice Cerullo, he said, he got to produce the proof that Jesus is risen from the dead. He said, the world is sick and tired of theologians and Bible teachers and, you know, people imparting knowledge. There is knowledge everywhere. Oh, yeah, there is knowledge. Anybody can come with knowledge. And theories and human knowledge and all kinds of knowledge, biblical knowledge and theological knowledge. And people are teaching and preaching and no signs and wonders, no miracles, no deliverance, no healing, no salvation. You see, the world is tired of all that. You know, so Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem, till ye be endued with power from on high, so that you can preach a gospel that carries the same power, that carries the same anointing, the same grace. You can preach the gospel effectively. It's not enough to just run out there and start preaching. Anybody can preach. I see a lot of people preaching. I say, yes, no problem. Even in the days of Jesus Christ, you know, one day the disciples were, you know, were talking with Jesus Christ, and one of them said, Master, see, across the road, there's another group of people preaching over here. There's a lot of people across the road preaching the same gospel we are preaching. Jesus said, yes. Oh, no problem. The disciples want to go across and stop them. Why will you preach the gospel that we are preaching? They want to go over there and stop those people from preaching. Got it? Then Jesus said, no, you don't have to stop nobody. You go ahead and preach your own gospel. They are not against me, so they are for me. So let them preach the gospel anyway. It doesn't really matter. You know, so everybody can preach the gospel. Anybody can preach the gospel. But there are categories of gospel. There are levels of gospel. So Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus said, I don't want you to go out there and just preach an empty gospel. You know, they have knowledge, but they deny the power thereof. The power is not there. And then they are just going around explaining the gospel to the people. There's no problem. Anybody can do that. But Jesus said, no, you these disciples, I want you to have my kind of ministry. The kind of ministry of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Anywhere he went, he was doing good. Almighty healer, healer that left us. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Even today, our God is doing good. Wherever he went, he was doing good. Almighty healer, healer that left us. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Even today, our Lord is doing good. Jesus said, well, you are my disciples. You have seen my ministry. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm going to want you to preach my kind of gospel. Gospel with signs and wonders and miracles. So you tarry in Jerusalem to ye be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. And so the disciples went into Jerusalem to the house of Mary, the upper room. And for days they were waiting on the Lord, the promise of the Father. I send you the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost that come upon you, and ye shall prophesy and see visions. Say the days of Pentecost, there shall be an outpouring of the Spirit and the power. And all the signs and wonders that will follow. And so the disciples went and waited on the Lord in Jerusalem for 10 days. They were praying and waiting on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings as eagles. They shall fly and never be weary. And on the 10th day, heaven opened, and the power of the Holy Ghost came down and filled them with cloven tongues as a fire. On the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me, Holy Ghost fire. Fire fall on me, fire, 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 fire fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like in the days of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Holy Ghost, fire, fire fall on me. Fire, 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 fire fall on me. As in the days of Pentecost, fire fall on me. So they received the power of the Holy Ghost and they were ready to evangelize. And you could see it in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, from verse 1 to the end, the disciples went into the cities and began to preach. And that was how evangelism and mission began in earnest. Though they have been preaching before, but this time around they were preaching with the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives, and it made all the difference because they were not just preaching the gospel, they were preaching the same gospel Jesus preached with the same power going with it. It made all the difference. And the gospel began to spread, and the Apostle Paul was converted, joined them. And there was persecution in the early church, and they had to be scattered. Yes, this is a point we would like to make. The commission was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It was the same reason Jesus never built a church. When Jesus was on earth for the 33 and a half years, Jesus never built a church building. No, that is not his goal. His goal was to propagate the gospel, you know, to give a new life. He came to give us abundant life. He was showing the way of God, the narrow way that leads to eternal life. He was showing us the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, the way of truth, the way we should live our lives as Christians. Jesus was here to do that. He wasn't here to, you know, start building some cathedrals. Jesus didn't come to build cathedrals and building programs and building projects and building upon building, all over the place. Well, it's okay. We must have some buildings where we worship. That's okay. But the emphasis was not building programs and building projects. That's not what Jesus came for. Because if you study the ministry of Jesus Christ for the 33 and a half years, he was more after going out to the people, reaching out to them with the word of God, preaching and healing and ministering to the people and getting them to know the truth sets them free, getting them to know the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Jesus could build a church if he wanted to. He could build a cathedral if he wanted to. Because he had 12 disciples, and he had a big followership. People were following him everywhere. And he never, emphasized on how you can build a church where people will come and watch it. That was not the vision. The vision was out where the sinners are. You know, the C.L. Osborne likes to talk about out where the sinners are. You know, talking to the sinners about repentance, about getting right with God, about heaven and hell. He was teaching them and ministering to their needs. He fed 4,000 people on one occasion, and then he fed another 5,000 people on another occasion. See, Jesus was more concerned about their lives, their spirit. You know, he was more concerned. He ministered to the needs of the people. Then the scripture says they followed him. They followed him, and if you want to tell me that they followed him because of the bread and the fish, you are not wrong. Because there are people who follow Jesus Christ because of the bread and the fish. Okay, that's okay. If you want to follow Jesus Christ because of the bread and the fish he was giving to them, nothing is wrong with that. Go ahead and follow Jesus Christ because of the bread and the fish. But they were sincere followers. You know, Jesus had sincere followers. He had great disciples who followed him and bore the vision with him, you know, and they went about preaching and ministering to the people. And that's what it should be today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has never changed. He does not change. He will never change. Said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, let me tell you this. When we leave this earth and we go to heaven, when we leave this earth, no one is going to ask you how many church buildings you built. No one is going to ask you how many churches you own or have. Nobody's going to ask you that. It is the souls that are saved that is crucial. You thought Apostle Paul was going around building church programs? Apostle Paul was building cathedrals? No. The disciples weren't even building cathedrals. They just have the churches in the home, in the families, you know, the house. They go from house to house. The New Testament church was a house-to-house thing. And though they had a central church in Jerusalem, but the outreach was what mattered, reaching out to the people right where they are. And so the churches were house-to-house and so on. The emphasis of Apostle Paul was not even erecting some cathedral. Apostle Paul was not, the disciples, the vision was not, let us build some cathedral, 5,000 seat auditorium. Or let us build another building, 10,000 seat auditorium for the people. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the emphasis was your soul being saved, the salvation of your soul. You knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you worshiping him in spirit and in truth, That was why when Jesus met people, he was not interested in them telling him. He knew they would say that. Eh? The woman at the well, who married four times, and then the fifth marriage is not even working. Jesus didn't bother to ask her, what church are you going to? He never asked. Jesus told her, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Holy. You need to be a true child of God. You know, so he was putting their mind and their focus upon Jesus, upon salvation, upon knowing the truth. And even when Nicodemus came to Jesus, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And then Nicodemus was telling all the sweet stories and talking religion and talking. Jesus did not waste time. He hid the nail at the head. Nicodemus, thank you for telling me all these sweet words, but something is missing. Have you been born again since you became a Christian? Have you been saved? Have you been born again by the Holy Spirit? Have your life been changed? Are you living a new life in Christ Jesus? Or you are just being religious and just religious and being religious? Because that's what it is today. Everybody is religious. Religion. It's religion. Everything is religion. You know, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So telling people about Jesus is what it is. You know, making them to know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It is the truth that you know that sets you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And so the Great Commission was given in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world before the end will come. This is very important. Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world before the end will come. This gospel, having been preached to all the world? No. The gospel hasn't been preached to all the world, because this gospel is being preached in major cities. You know, they want to preach in New York, they want to preach in Atlanta, they want to preach in London, they want to preach in Lagos, they want to preach in Johannesburg, they want to preach in Nairobi, Kenya. Eh? Uh-huh. So the major cities, that is where the gospel has been preached. Don't ask me, why is it like that? Don't ask me. I will tell you. Eh? The gospel must be preached in major cities of the world. You know, where the rich people are and, you know, want to be seen and all that. You know, so the gospel has circulated in the major cities of the world. And if you look at the way the preaching is going, the preaching is going the same circle. Eh? The preaching is Washington, D.C., the preaching is California, it's London, Johannesburg, it's Lagos, and Nairobi, Kenya, and major cities of the world. That's where the preaching is being done. And this is the reason why the whole world has not been evangelized. Everybody is preaching in the major cities of the world. How about the hinterland? How about the village? How about some parts of the world where there is no life, there is no, There are no roads. They don't have facilities. They don't have water and drink from villages and interior parts of the earth. Are we going to leave those places? No. We're not going to leave those places. We must do something about it. How do we do it? You must pray God to send the labor. That Jesus said, the harvest truly is ripe, but the laborers are very few. The harvest truly is ripe, but there are no laborers. No people to go out there. Nobody wants to go to those places. Those are the real core places that need the gospel. So let me tell you the truth. There are some parts of this world where the gospel has not even been preached one time. There are some hidden villages, hidden interior parts of the earth, you know, interior places where the gospel of Jesus Christ has never been preached even once. And then you are saying, let's bring back the Savior. Somebody was saying, when will Jesus come again? Jesus should come again and rapture the church so that we go to heaven. Let's bring back the Savior. Let's bring back the Savior. Oh, yeah, somebody was saying that. He said, Jesus will come and rapture the church quickly. Let's go to heaven and then have rest and relax and enjoy the cities of heaven. The mansions are there, the city of gold. And there's no night there. You don't have to walk. You don't have to labor in heaven. Everything is prepared. Let's go up there. Somebody was saying that. Jesus is not going to rapture the church yet. Oh, no, he's not going to rapture the church. You know why? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole earth before he will come again to rapture the church. So let me tell you this. If you want Jesus to come again, quick, and rapture us, and rapture, you know, we going over there. No, you have to preach the gospel. Yes, whether you like it or not, you got to preach the gospel to every Christian. And thank God for modern technology. We now have social media. I tell you, we have reached more souls for Christ using the social media than we ever thought we could. Because you don't have to travel all the way to India to preach to somebody right now. You don't have to travel all the way to the Philippines. You don't have to buy a ticket and start traveling to, you know, deep parts of the earth to go and tell people about Jesus. God has even made provision. The media is there. It's a powerful weapon, I tell you. Because we get phone calls every time. We get emails. We get, you know, replies, responses from people from various parts of the world who are listening to the word of God. And how many people are giving their lives to Christ and getting saved, getting healed by the power of God just through this media. It's wonderful, you know. And I think this is fulfillment of prophecy. Daniel prophesied in the book of Daniel. He said, towards the end of time, knowledge and travel shall increase. Yes, that was the prophecy of Daniel in the book of Daniel. So towards the end of time, knowledge and travel shall increase. As you can see knowledge in technology, you can address the whole world just sitting in one spot. Oh, yes. You can talk to people all over the world just from one spot where you are. See how powerful media has. So we are now even at an advantage. The Apostle Paul, he didn't have airplanes to fly. Apostle Paul, they didn't have all this technology we have now. you know, the days of the disciples, then the world was small. Then we didn't have the world population. Then I don't think it was up to 4 billion people. Right now, the world population is almost 9 billion people in this earth right now. And the statistics show that only 2/3 of the world's population have heard the gospel. Statistics show that only 2/3 of the world's population have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can imagine why Jesus is not coming yet. Yes, Jesus is not coming yet. Jesus is coming back for me. Jesus is coming back for you. Glory, hallelujah. Is it the Christ yesterday? Oh, Christ is coming back for me. Christ is coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for me. Glory, hallelujah. He is the Christ yesterday. Oh, Christ is coming back for me. Jesus is coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for you. Glory, hallelujah. He is the Christ yesterday. Oh, Christ is coming back for me. Christ is coming back for you. Christ is coming back for me. But are we ready? Prepare to meet thy God. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God. How do you prepare? By fulfilling the great commission of evangelism and world mission. How do we do it? If everyone has to evangelize their community, the whole world will have been saved. But many times, people don't fulfill the Great Commission. Everybody is quiet. Nobody is preaching to nobody. The sinners are going to hell, and nobody is telling them about Jesus Christ. And there is no hope for the world. If everyone is not going to preach the gospel, then Jesus is not going to come back either. Jesus is not going to come back either. They require their blood from your hand. If you will not tell them the truth, if you won't make them to know that salvation is very important, it is going to require their blood from your hand. In Ezekiel chapter 3, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 19. See, if you will not want the wicked to stop, if you will not want the wicked to repent, if you will not want the winners to turn away from their evil ways, you let the sinners to go on and live in sin and go to hell. And then God said, I will require their blood from your hand. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 19, and then Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 9. If you will not tell them, if you will not preach to them, if you will not make them to repent and turn away from their wicked ways, and then they die in their iniquity, God said he will hold you responsible, and their blood he will request from your hand, because you didn't do your work at all. You didn't preach the gospel. And God is angry, and then he's holding you responsible for the blood of the sinner who went to hell because you never told them to repent. You never told them to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You never did anything. And you left them like that. Say, he that winneth soul is wise. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. He that winneth souls is wise. When you are a soul winner, God in his word says you are wise. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. He that winneth soul, he that winneth soul is wise. That is, you get wisdom when you win soul. And this is King Solomon speaking here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the wisdom man, who gained the wisdom of God. That's King Solomon, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. He that winneth soul is wise. So if you want to be wise, you got to win souls. You got to preach the gospel. You got to do it in your place of work, in your business premises, where you live. You know, today, people may not have to travel a lot before talking to people. You can talk to people anywhere, any part of the world. With all these restrictions about viruses, restrictions, no travel, restrictions of put on your mask, 6 feet apart, sanitizers, and all these things. These are hindrances to the preaching of the gospel. A lot of people wouldn't even like to travel again. You know, a lot of people want to stay. But if you are able to travel around, that's okay. Oh, yes. Oh, no problem. You can travel around. Anybody can travel around and preach the gospel. But another person has an advantage of being able to use the media technology to reach the whole world. So whatever method is acceptable, Jesus had to feed 4,000 people, and then he fed another 5,000 people, and then the scripture says they followed him. Oh, yes. If that is how we will win the world, it's acceptable, because Jesus has already set the pace. He fed 4,000 people, and then he fed another 5,000 people. And then the scripture says they followed him. Okay? If you want to follow Jesus Christ because you are being fed, that's okay. You are welcome to follow Jesus Christ. And if this is a method we can use, we will use it. Oh, yes, feeding the poor and feeding the hungry, helping the needy, clothing the naked. These are all various methods of evangelism. You know, ministering to the needs of the people, getting them to understand what it's all about. And then Jesus made the Great Commission clearer in Luke 10:19. So I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We got that power in the name of Jesus. We got a power in the name of the Lord. Those that rage, which always overcome. We got a power in the name of the Lord. We got a power in the name of Jesus. We got a power in the name of the Lord. Those that rage, which always overcome. We got a power in the name of the Lord. We got a power in the name of Jesus. We got a power in the name of the Lord. Those that are raging, which always overcome. We got a power in the name of the Lord. Luke 10:19, Jesus gave us power over all the powers of the enemy to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of Satan and nothing shall by any means hurt us. For you to have the power, you have to commit yourself to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was making this impartation to his own disciples. He made all this impartation to his own disciples, telling them this is what you get for being a preacher, for being a disciple, for being a follower. This is what you get. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. These are the benefits of preaching the gospel. He that winneth soul is wise. Jesus has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, just because we are his disciples. We are following him. So he has imparted that grace to us to carry his power and his anointing, his presence around. You know, that's the reason Apostle Paul's handkerchief was healing the sick, because Jesus has imparted power into his spirit. So if you are looking for power, don't go to India and buy charms. If you are looking for power, Don't go out looking for power. Jesus is the power of God. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. So when you come into Jesus, you are baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. You now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit comes with the power of God. Not power to fight bossing, not power to knock people down. The power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power to do evangelism, to do missions, to go to places and preach, go to villages, hinterlands, and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't care whether they are killing people or not killing people. If I die preaching the gospel, I'm going to heaven straight. Who cares? No, they are killing missionaries in some nations, in parts of the world, they don't want to hear the gospel. They say they don't want about Jesus Christ, and they don't want anybody talking about God, about Bible, about church, about no. So they kill Christians, they kill missionaries, kill preachers, and all that stuff. But let me tell you this: you can't kill the vision of God. They have been doing this right from Acts of Apostles chapter 7. They stoned Stephen to death for preaching the gospel. They stoned him to death, persecuted those who will live for Christ and suffer persecution. There is persecution, the fellowship of his suffering. Jesus did not say it's going to be a smooth ride. There is persecution. There is all kinds of victimizations and all kinds of things they do to preachers. But don't touch the Lord's anointed. When you touch the Lord's anointed, God can judge you for it. Though Christians will be persecuted, believers will be persecuted, the church is being persecuted, preachers are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are angry. And they are telling us, don't preach. By throwing stones at the believers. Acts of Apostles chapter 7, they stoned Stephen to death for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's okay. He's gone to heaven. He's gone to heaven. That's what it is. How far have we gone with the evangelism, the mission? How far? I tell you, we haven't done much. Today's Christians, they are formed fair Christians, formed fair. Today's Christians is about wealth and riches and prosperity. Today's Christians is about entertainment. Today's Christians is about what I can get out of Christianity. Today's Christians is about comfort zones. And the fellowship of his suffering is not there. bearing the cross. You want to follow Christ, you got to take up your cross and follow him. No, we are not ready to suffer for the gospel's sake. We like to be in comfort zone. And all these things are not helping the gospel. And God is calling Christians today all over the world to wake up from their slumber. Wake up from your slumber. It is time to preach the gospel to every creature. And if you will not preach the gospel, God is not going to send an angel from heaven. God is not going to send any angel from heaven to come and preach the gospel. You are the one to preach the gospel. A man of God said, you have no right to hear the gospel two times. You heard it once, you got saved, you got born again. Now go out there and preach to the sinners. Out where the sinners are. Go tell them that Jesus died for sinful man and he's coming back again. Oh yes, that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. This is not the time for fun-fair Christianity. Christianity of entertainment. Sit down and be entertained. That is not what it's all about. Our supreme task is evangelization of the whole world. I don't mean evangelizing the main cities of the world, major cities. No. Must go to the hinterlands, to the villages, to the outskirts, to the unreached, to the unchurched areas of the earth, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people, and pray for them, and minister to their needs, and help them to know the truth, that the truth shall set them free. No, you are so privileged to have the gospel preached to you, for you to have known earlier, to have known Christ earlier. Someone else did not know Christ earlier. And the person is great. I wish I knew Jesus Christ earlier than this. I should have done greater things. See? What are some of the hindrances to evangelism and mission? Some of the hindrances. Oh, there are a lot of hindrances to evangelism and mission. Diversion of funds is one of the biggest obstacles. These funds are made for the propagation of the gospel of Christ, and these people will divert those funds into their own personal gain. God is not happy with that. And so much has been collected in the name of mission, in the name of evangelism, in the name of preaching the gospel, and the money never got to this place. May God have mercy. No, we must repent of all this evil. Money meant for the preaching of the gospel must go for the preaching of the gospel. It shouldn't be diverted into other things. There was a story of a man who came to the United States to preach. And he told the people here, told them lies, said he was building churches back home in Africa. He was building churches. So they should donate money for him to go back to Africa and build church. People started donating. Donated money, more huge, large sums of money for this guy to go back to Africa and build churches. The man went there, went home and built his own estate. Build his own estate. Mighty estate like this. Build it for himself and his family. And that money did not go for evangelism and mission. You know, these are many hindrances to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another hindrance is false reports. We get a lot of false reports. Some preacher will come and tell you that they have preached in India and they have won 100 million people to Christ at India. Another preacher will come. He will say he has been preaching at Philippines And he has already won 500 million people to Christ at the Philippines. Another preacher will still come. He will soon tell you that he has been preaching at Africa. And he has won 10 million souls to Christ at Africa. And why all these lies? These lies are told so that they can collect extra money. A convention where 50,000 people gathered. The pastor came to and announced to the, he said the convention is 11 million people that came to the convention. Oh, what a lie. How did you come there? Where is the place they stood? Let us you see, lie. And these are people who say they are holiness, holy people, and all over the place. They are telling lies to the general public that their convention was attended by 11 million people, 20 million, 13 million. Which day did you sit down to count all those people? They lie. Everywhere lie. You know, that's why we should look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us not look upon anybody. Look unto Jesus. Don't look to human beings. Human beings are going to fail. Human beings are going to frustrate, you know. But thank God, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by him. So these are many hindrances, false reports, false publications, and then there's lack of support for the rightful people who are doing the real work. The real people who are doing the evangelism and missions to the whole world, most of them don't have access to funds. They don't have access to financing. They don't have access to support. They don't have access. So they live in abject poverty while they are doing the work, and discouragement sets in, and many of them quit, and so on and so forth. You know, lack of support. And then we have false ministers, false ministry, fake preachers, fake pastors, fake evangelists, fake missionaries, fake. They just go in there and use the name of Christ to get what they want, and then they shift their base. You know, God is not happy with all these things. We pray for repentance. People should turn away from their wicked ways so that we follow the rightful way of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there are false religions out there that are obstacles to the preaching of the gospel, false religions and false gods. They are out there. They are telling you, your church must be registered with the government, and the government will be telling you what to preach. They streamline people, and then they regulate people, and they don't want you to preach salvation through Jesus Christ. They don't want you telling them about heaven. There was a time in Russia, you dare not own a Bible. So there was China, Russia, North Korea, and all those places. There were times when they shouldn't see you preaching the gospel. Of course, just recently, people went there to preach. Otherwise, there was a time when you cannot even talk about Jesus Christ openly in some of those places. These are places the devil has captivated. But thank God for the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. Jesus said, pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Oh, yes, Jesus had already made that statement. Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field, which means evangelism and mission have to be backed with prayers. It is the prayers of the saints that is going to move the gospel forward. The prayers of the saints is going to make evangelism to spread as wildfire. The prayers of the saints will spread this gospel faster. The prayers of the saints. Very, very important. Now, if you didn't go, you have various ways of going. Oh, yes. Must you travel? Let's say you couldn't travel around the world. And what else can you do in order to support the gospel? There's a scripture that says, he that goeth ends the same as he that supports. So who went and who supported ends the same. They have the same reward. The reward for the person who went to preach is the same as the reward for the person who supported the preaching. So if you must not go out there, what about your financial support for missions and evangelism? What about your prayer support for missions and evangelism? What about your moral support and, you know, helping in one way or the other to push the gospel? The ministry of Jesus Christ had Joseph of Arimathea, who sponsored his burial. And then Nicodemus was not a poor person. These are important personalities who were around Jesus Christ, even up to the grave, up to the crucifixion. They were secret disciples of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the centurion. The centurion followed Jesus Christ from afar, even up to the cross. These were all partners of Jesus' ministry. Not to talk about Mary and Mary Martha, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out a demon. All those are partners of his ministry. They were doing one thing or the other to push the gospel forward. Now, if you must not travel around the world, if you must not go out all the time to preach the gospel like the other evangelists are doing, what are you doing? Are you supporting them with your little offerings and little tithes and little gifts and little helps here and there? You are helping to push the gospel forward when you support evangelists and missionaries to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, Jesus just finished preaching. And he retired to the home of Mary and Martha. Martha was preparing his food, and Mary sat at his feet. Those are all support for Jesus' ministry. Martha was preparing food for Jesus, and then Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, you know, learning from him and giving him all the emotional support. The emotional support was given to Jesus Christ by Mary. And then Martha was very busy preparing food for Jesus Christ. See? So there is something you can always do for the kingdom. There is something you can always do to move the gospel forward. There is something you can always do to help the preachers to move on. There is something you can always do to encourage those who are going, even if you didn't go. Today, God is calling you to be a partner to this ministry, to give, to support, to help, to donate, to send your offering and your gifts into this ministry to enable us to preach God the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Oh, yes, many have been sending, and you can join to send. We have the club 300. We are trusting God for 300 faithful men and women who we say, I'm supporting this radio ministry with this amount. You just give whatever God lay your heart. Go into our website, www.24hoursprayers.mysite.com. Our website, www.24hoursprayers.mysite.com. Go in there and use any of the systems to send your donations or offerings or gifts or donations or tithes or offering, whatever you want to give, just give. And God will reward you abundantly. Many have been doing that, and they always testify that God is blessing them and their families. You need to do the same thing. Let God reward you. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you support the work of God, you are supporting evangelism and mission. You are helping the work of God to go forth. And here in our ministry, we even help evil ministers. We also give to other missions and evangelists and apostles and servants of the Lord to go forth and preach the gospel. So this is the right soil. This is the right soil to plant. This is the right place to sow your seed, to give, to give to the work of God right here in the Our Miracles Radio TV Ministries of the Jesus Christ Global Mission. Yes, you are welcome to support evangelism and mission through this venue. Oh, yes, you just go to our website, www.24hourprayers.mysite.com. You log in there and use any of the methods there to give. And I tell you, God will reward you abundantly. And he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will open the windows of heaven for you, blessings that you wouldn't have enough space to keep. You continue to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, why should I fear when the Lord is on my side? Why should I worry when his hands are saved me high? He's for me, my fortress and my rock. Tell me, why should I fear? Why should I worry when the Lord is on my side? Why should I fear when his hands are saved me high? He saw me, my fortress and my rock. Tell me, why should I fear? Why should I fear when the Lord is on my side? Why should I worry when his hands have saved me high? He saw me, my fortress and my rock. Tell me, why should I fear? Why should I worry when the Lord is on my side? Why should I fear when his blood has set me high? He for me, my fortress and my rock. Tell me, why should I fear? Why should I fear when the Lord is on my side? Why should I worry when his hands are saved me high? He to me, my fortress and my rock. Tell me, why should I fear? I don't worry, I don't fear, I know that Lord is on my side. I don't worry, I don't care, I know that Lord is on my side. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know my Lord is coming. His rod and his staff, oh, they comfort me. I don't worry, I don't care, my Lord is always on my side. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know that Lord is on my side. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know that Lord is on my side. He's wrong and his staff, oh, they comfort me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Lord Most High. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my God is on my side. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know my Lord is on my side. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know my God is the answer. His rod and his staff, oh, they comfort me. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my God is the answer. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my Lord is the answer. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my God is the answer. His rod and his staff, oh, they comfort me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Lord forever. He that perish in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Lord forever. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know my God is the master. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my God is the master. I don't worry, I don't fear, I know my God is the master. His rod and his staff, oh, they comfort me. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my Lord is the master. I don't worry, I don't care, I know Jesus is on my side. I don't worry, I don't care, I know my Lord is on my side. Rod and his staff, oh, they comfort me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I don't worry, I don't fear. I know that God is on my side. With God, all things are possible. He said, with man, it is not possible. With people, it is not possible. But with God, all things are possible. What you need is not people. What you need is God. Oh, yes, I'm telling you the truth. What we need is God. One with God is with majority. But Elijah was one man who turned a whole nation towards God. One man. God said, I fought for a man. I fought for a man who will see the God. And I found out that God is looking for one person who has a vision from heaven that will turn the whole world upside up. You know, one man called Prophet Elijah. He turned the whole nation of Israel, turned them towards God. And many times we think we must have a crowd of people before we walk. We think we must have a crowd. No, that crowd, most of the time those crowd is arguments and people who want to, they don't submit to authority. They are not obedient, disobedient, arrogant and rude and rebellious people. And then the camp is divided. But when you have one man with God, I tell you, we are winners. God is looking for one man with him, just one person, who will turn the whole world upside up. May he find you. May he find you in the name of Jesus Christ. God is not looking for a crowd. Gideon took... how many thousand people? It took 30,000 Gideon, the army of Gideon, big army. And he was going to war. He said, no, he don't need this army. This army of thousands of people going to war, they are going to fail. Because there is division in the camp. You have unwilling followers. Unwilling followers, they are going to betray you. Come on. Take them through a test. So Gideon took them to the water side. Then God told him, those who will put their ammunition down and put their head in the water and start drinking, those are not fit for the kingdom. They are not going with you. But those who will hold their ammunition in one hand and they are using the other hand to sip the water, that is your army. Only 300 people pass the test. you know, only 300 people and send everybody home. Please go home. Go home. We don't need you. We need just 300. You know, three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three. That's what God needs. You know, just 300 people went and conquered the whole land and took over the whole place. That's what it's all about. Sometimes Jesus Christ wants to pray, and the disciples are there. Jesus will just pick Peter, John, and James, and that's it. Peter, John, and James, and that's it. Peter, John, and James, and that's it. But the rest are there. Is it the crowd that is going to do the work? You see, with God, all things are possible. One with God is the majority. Jesus Christ, just one man, went to the cross and died for the whole world to be saved. Only one man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth went to the cross, died, shed his blood for the remission of our sins. By his side, where one man died for the salvation of the whole world. Can you imagine? Just one man with God. You know, all this crowd is not what God does not look for crowds. God is looking for faithful persons. Faithful, one or two, three, four. That's it. And God is moving. God is not waiting for mixed multitude. Yes, that's the right terminology. Because when Moses led the Israelites from Egypt going to the land of promise, that crowd, the Bible called it mixed multitude. M-I-X-E-D. Mixed multitude. It's a multitude of people of different mindsets. And they really gave Moses trouble. They gave him real problems, you know, until the camp was cleaned and the real followers now followed Moses, you know, and then Moses ended somewhere and then Joshua had to go. Even then, Joshua didn't go with everybody. It was Joshua and Caleb with the little children, innocent children, that entered into the land of... Can you imagine? God is separating the goat from the sheep. God is separating the goat from the sheep. Can you imagine? 10 spies came and said, Moses, we are not able to take that land. Out of 12 spies that were sent, 10 of them form a union. Unionism. Eh? They form a union. And they say, Moses, we are not going to the land of promise. We are going back to Egypt. Because the place, we can't go there. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that. Huh. What about the God who brought you from Egypt? What about the God who conquered Pharaoh? What about the God who opened the Red Sea? What about the God who brought water from the rock? You have forgotten all this so soon? They said, no, Moses, no, we don't want you. We don't want your leadership. We are going away. They rebel against God, and God destroyed many of them, you know, on their way, you know. So rebellion have always been there. And only two spies spoke the word of faith. Joshua and Caleb. They say, look, we are going into the land of promise. We are going there to conquer. The same God, he say, I don't change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God does not change. He does not change. He has never changed. He's the unchanging changer. The unchanging changer. We are going into that land of promise, and we are going to take it. We're going to dwell there. Joshua and Caleb, just two people. Come. What about the other 10 people? They say, no, we are not going. That tells you how unreliable human beings can be. Human beings. You know, the Bible says, trust in no man. Trust. Don't trust anybody. Because if you do, you will regret. Don't trust anybody at all. Trust God. Have faith in God. Have confidence in God. Have hope in God. Because with God, you are bound to, with God, we are bound to succeed. With God, we are bound to break through and possess the land of promise. It's not the 10 spies. We don't need those 10 spies. It's just two men of faith who went forth, you know, and brought, you know, the will of God down to earth. You know, something that you think about crowd. The crowd is gathered. So God is moving. Who told you that? What crowd are you gathering? You know, gather lizards and snakes and dogs and goats, rebels, confusionists, selfish and greedy men and women. And they are all there trying to pollute what God is doing. God does not need those people. The Holy Spirit is doing his work. Jesus is doing his work. God is doing his work. And he uses anybody he found worthy. That's what it is. As for Joshua and Caleb, with the innocent children, went into the land of promise and possess their possession. The same with mission. The mission and the evangelism we are talking today. There's a lot of discouraging factors. The Christians you thought are united, most of them, they have given themselves to Satan to use, the devil using many of them, and they can even pollute the work of God and discourage the work of God. But thank God for Joshua and Caleb. We are able to take the land of promise. I don't care what is happening. I don't care about having God with me. When I have him, I have everything. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Why did I wait for you? Wait for you for what? I need Jesus Christ. I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. That is my power and my strength. I walk with him. And we have victory in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. God is not looking for some crowd. God is not looking for population. God is looking for the faithful few. How do you think? Only 12 disciples. Jesus had only 12 disciples. Even among the 12 disciples, there was a Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was the one who sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine? Only 12. How about when you have 500? 500 of them. How many Judas Iscariot will be there? The Judas Iscariot may be up to 20 of them in that place. Betrayer, betrayed, and self-betrayed, Jesus betrayed, sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And they went ahead and killed Jesus Christ so that the enemy will know that this is the Jesus Christ we are talking about. You know, and all these things are still happening today. Traitors. People who have come to spoil. People who have come to discourage. But thank God, God spoke to Joshua. He said, Joshua, this land you are going to take, there are many obstacles there, but I will be with you. Do not be discouraged because you are going to be discouraged. What is discouragement? After Joshua has successfully conquered Jericho, one of his own, Achan went and stole items from Jericho. God said, nobody can pick a pin. Don't you pick any pin from Jericho because I put a curse on Jericho. Achan went and stole items and was going with Joshua. He was going with Joshua. God left. You know, and they could not conquer the next city. When they couldn't conquer the next city, they now came back and said, what's going on? Not knowing that Achan has taken their coffee and the effect is on the people. So they had to push Achan out of the camp. Oh, yeah, there are too many Achans today. We have to push all the spiritual Achans all of them be pushed away, and let God move with his servants to the land of promise that he flowed with milk and honey. And all these things are happening. It is the reason the gospel is being hindered, evangelism and mission, because you don't have people to trust. You have people who are there to spoil, to destroy, to, you know, mismanage and cause confusion in the house of God. Look at what is happening in Hillsong Church. Hillsong Church, they had issues. Instead of the issues to be handled within the church and get the church committees to handle the issues, before we say Jack Robinson, they carried everything and put it in the hands of they scattered the church, and they are now taking members from that place now to form their new churches, forming new churches out of the old church. That's what has always happened. They want to break down what is there, pull out everybody, and use them to form new organizations. So the splitting continues to tomorrow. Everywhere you go, splitting of churches, splitting of this, splitting. And they are just there to destroy. They are satanic agents. God did not call them. Money hungry people. God didn't call them. They have no place in the kingdom of God. You know, so they just wanted to take that church from that young man, you know, Pastor Brown hosting. I thank God for his life. He's not going to be discouraged. He's not going to give up. We are not saying that he's an angel. He might have his weaknesses and his failures. That's okay. But God has forgiven him and his men, and he's going to be back to ministry doing the work of God. You know, so this is what is going on. These are hindrances to the preaching of the gospel. They publicize evil. They don't publicize the good part of it. From nowhere, this is Young Micho has stolen money from the church. Which church? They say the church he founded. You know, Pastor Young Micho of South Korea. They said he took money from his church. And so it's an offense. And then they don't publicize it. The man has gone to heaven. Is he still dragging with you? Olofofo, busy bodies. They are busy bodies. If other people are fair, they are after other people, you know, who they can grab and use. And, you know, they can use you to stepping stone to get to their own and do their own. So they pull people down to put up their own. That's what they are doing. And they are hindering the work of God, and God will hinder all of them in the name of Jesus Christ. They will not prosper in their evil way. In the name of Jesus Christ, whosoever will touch the Lord's anointed, God will destroy such people. You know, go around and put news there, bad news. Why don't you settle those matters within the church? Why don't you discuss those matters within the church? Why will you go and spread bad news about the church and the work of God? Who asked you to do that? That's not how to settle issues. Issues have to be settled within the church. The pastors are there, the bishops, the apostles are there, the committees are there. You iron out your differences and move on. How do you carry church matters to give the unbeliever to come and judge church? That's not the way. You know, these are many hindrances in evangelism. But God is God all the time. Quickly, we want to talk about the reward of evangelism and mission. The rewards. What are the rewards? There is a crown of soul winning. Apostle Paul spoke about this in Timothy. He said, I have finished my race. I have done it. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Oh, yes, that's the Apostle Paul. Who knows where he's going? He knew his calling and he fits it into it. Said, I have run the race, I have finished my course, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There is a crown of righteousness, the crown for soul winning, the martyr's crown, crown for being a martyr. So the someone who was crucified for the gospel's sake, there are crowns. And of course, there is favor and grace of God upon your life when you are involved in evangelism and mission. Oh, yes, you are doing God's own, and God will do your own. You are doing what God wants you to do, and then God is in the business of doing your own. That's what it is. He that winneth souls is wise. God gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. When you take up his work and do his work of evangelism and mission, God will be there for you. But when you reject the work of God and you go about doing your own business and all the things you want to do, you are out of the will of God, and God is not interested. God is interested in those who are doing his work. So today, you need to make a decision to follow the narrow way that leads to eternal life. You need to fulfill evangelism and missions today. There's no running away from it. You need to give out tracts. You need to tell the people about salvation. You need to preach the gospel of repentance. John the Baptist said, "Stop ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." The gospel was not even a smooth one. 40 days time, Nineveh shall be destroyed. And the whole city repented in sackcloth. Don't look for what to preach. Don't say what God is saying. Just speak the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and with the word was God. John the Baptist, oh, I like that man. He had no sweet words for anybody. Say, you brood of vipers, who asks you to come to the kingdom? You know, and he peppered them with the word of God. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And yet the people repented. Yeah. They repented. How about Jonah? The prophet Jonah got to Nineveh, and this was his message. When he got to Nineveh, he said, 40 days time, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's not a sweet message to hear. 40 days time, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. That's not sweet to the ears. But that was the word of God. That was the message God gave to Jonah. That was what God asked Jonah to speak. And he said it to the people of Nineveh. 40 days time, Nineveh shall be destroyed. And that turned the whole city upside up. And the Bible says that the people of Nineveh, they repented in sackcloth, with tears in their eyes. They repented and turned from their wicked way. And God had them and heal their land and restore the people of Nineveh. You know? So don't ask me, which message am I going to preach? No. The whole gospel is in John 3:16. The gospel in a nutshell is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So the gospel is in John 3:16. Just that. That is the main topic. And when you speak that to the world, you will know that they are talking about Jesus Christ. So God gives us message, gives us words to say, and those words bring life and life more abundantly to the people. I want you right to pray now. I want you to be very sober at this moment. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to take up the evangelism and mission, the commission that Jesus commissioned Christians to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus right now as we pray. that there shall be a restoration of evangelism and missions in your life. God has called you to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you probably have not been doing it. Now is the opportunity for you to renew your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him have you as his own, so that you can have eternal life. What shall it profit you if you shall gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul? Now is the opportunity for you to be saved. I pray that everyone who have heard this word today shall be a doer of this word and not just a hearer alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will be able to fulfill this great commission of evangelism and mission, that you will go out there and win souls for the Lord. You go out there and preach the gospel to every creature. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive all that God has for you today. And may you be a doer of this word of God, and not just a hearer alone. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Please forward this message to as many that you know. Email it to them. Text it. Tweet it out. Share it. And let them know the truth, that the truth shall set them free. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by him. Thank you all for joining in this program. God bless you. Jesus loves you. We love you too. Felicia and I will say God bless you to everyone. Thank you for your participation and for everything you do to encourage us in this ministry. The Lord reward you all abundantly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen and amen. He that winneth soul is wise. He that winneth soul is wise. He that winneth soul is